I don't need them. Lord knows I don't need them. Telling me I can see them, but I never need them. Listen close to my leader. They tell me that they need me, but they trying to deceive me. I'm free now, please lead me. I'm taking my freedom now. I'm living in freedom now. I'm taking my freedom now. I'm taking my freedom now. I'm taking my freedom back. I'm taking my freedom back. I'm living in freedom now. Hey.
In this episode of Inquisitive Minds, panelists Brendan James, Ricardo Michella, and DJ Aaron 868 continue a conversation we started with Anthony Zamore, who spoke on the history of finance and the AI implications on the economy. We have special guest Sherman Stewart, who is a technology and digitization specialist, who gives us some insight on the applications of AI in people and society.
Anthony would have talked about, instead of like how we would have talked about AI generally, he dived into like what this means for the financial sector, the concept of money. Yeah, so Anthony spent some time talking about it from the what does AI mean in terms of the whole economy thing. And you spent some time talking about Bitcoin, crypto, what AI is going to do in terms of disrupting all of that, and the whole concept of the financial system could be turned on its head, right? You free to take this wherever you want to take it. I would have been dabbling in data science over the years, right? Dabbling.
Right.
More Excel would be my kind of forte. And would have picked up on certain tools like Power BI, right, and others. Mm-hmm. And with some of the things, the advancements made in AI and machine learning, we started to apply it to projects at work, and it ended up reaching the senior exec, and I had to present for the board of my company, and we established an entire department that will be focused on this now, on unlocking, utilizing data science, artificial intelligence, digitization, machine learning, to actually advance the operational agenda for the business.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if serendipity is the word, but it's so serendipitous that we had this conversation, and just in about right after the conversation, all those things happened. So I tell you, like, for me now, it's more than just the idea. This is my job. This is the work that I had to do. It has opened up a whole new world for me. I always had an appreciation for it, but the disruption that you and Anthony talked about, it has reached home for me personally.
Yeah.
And I think it should have happened sooner.
But because they're saying right now that the general public kind of slow to adopting AI, right? And what they are also saying is that in the work environment, those that use AI will replace those that don't use AI. You understand? So soon your resume would be, most hiring managers would be looking to see if you're able with AI, because AI is where it's at right now. You know what I mean? And the thing with AI, what I see, it's moving real fast. It's moving really, really. The amount of things that's happened since we had that last podcast, it is kind of unbelievable. But the thing is, I know they slowed down because it was moving too fast and they didn't know how to manage it properly, right? But in terms of incorporating or putting AI into different, like, all right, you know, AI rolling out with the new Microsoft Office, right? So that, you see, how to put it, I would have structured things around I would structure things around what we had at that point in time when we had that meeting. Then now you look and see that, you know, it changed. And the thing is, you don't have to pay for anything. They're making it like a Facebook, I would say, part of your life. It'll be part of your lifestyle, you know? And even, I don't know if you see the movie Creator, Well, you know where I work, so I had a option to watch it. You know, and so, and some parts of that movie was made with AI as well, right?
Wow.
But the way every they say by the end of next year, every piece of tech will have AI in it. Your phones, computers. I don't know if you use Windows that much. I know our update is coming with that as well. Right, they don't have it in the browser with in terms of Edge, right? And then just yesterday, Adobe rolling out some a lot of things, but they're saying that Facebook, they're getting a backlash with it because you know they have these I don't know if you looked at their keynote with AI where they were showing they have an AI studio coming up soon that you'll be able to create stuff. That anything you want, basically, you know.
This studio you're talking like, what, music or like content or
AI studio? Meaning, you could do voiceovers, you could write books, you could do picture manipulation, that type of thing, videos. You could even how we would record a video in English, you could transcribe transcribe your videos into different languages across the world. It would just a click, you know what I mean? So that even come into YouTube also. I think it is there in YouTube Red. I'm not too sure. Don't hold me to that one, right? And then
I don't know. The whole creative industry. That is what you're talking about there.
It doesn't start, you know? I don't know if you know, but I am a digitization expert. Recently, they had a little function with Dr. Eric Williams. I'm the person that started that whole, start digitizing his speeches from since I was 2007. Right? Wow. And they now finish it and play it because that was the end goal was to digitize the speeches and have it available online, right? And via they want to go beyond that because that time when that was in like 2007, right? We weren't talking about AI and things that time. They want to do something with AI and his speeches and that type of thing. But I wanted to go a little further. This is what I was telling you. I'm working on. I don't really want to release it just as yet. And that's the direction I'm looking to go with the AI. Well, not just with Dr. Eric Williams, but have other things that we could, you know, give AI and give it the option to, you know, expand on different things where people is concerned, you know. And remember, I was telling you that AI could now read your thoughts. Remember, I was telling you about that,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a piece of software. Well, you know how our thoughts have little microelectrical entwined kind of things, and AI could know because they did a test, and it could, if say you're listening to music, how that music stimulates your brain, AI could read the pulses and recreate that song, right? That's how far they reach with it now. So by the end of November, we should have where it could recreate a clean picture of video. So where brainwash, trying to get, I see they will use that in military as well to get information out of people that doesn't want to give, you know, that kind of thing. So,
I saw the godfather of artificial intelligence from Google shooting the warning shot on 60 Minutes recently. I don't know if any of the guys would have seen it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually warned around the same things that you just mentioned about the military application of artificial intelligence, which is the downside.
That's the downside. Well.
Yeah,
that's the downside.
Kado, you was going to say something? Or it was that he was going to mention?
Listen, right now I'm seeing on social media people liking and following AI accounts. Right?
Yeah.
These bots are looking at your data, seeing the type of person that you like to respond to, the type of conversation that you're interested in having, and fabricating complete AI accounts to engage with you. I'm considering, based on what Sherman said there, that, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, you would put computer literate on your resume.
Yeah.
Right? I'm guessing that pretty soon people are going to be putting AI literate or AI operational as the new computer literate.
Or prompt engineering, you know,
Prompt,
that type
yeah.
of thing. Yeah,
Trained in
that's actually a field, prompt engineering, being able, because remember, AI responses or is more based of how you question it or how you prompt it. You understand? Because I could say something here and then write it differently, and it's a whole different. I've seen that many times. You know, you mightn't like how it's, and they're giving you that option now. Because I mean, I use AI basically every day, because I do social media and that type of thing management. So, you know, AI comes up with a lot of is now, and that's the other. Oh, and that's the other thing. They're giving you the option now to do context with AI. In the free G, I don't know if you use ChatGPT in the free version of it, meaning that you could tell the AI what it is, and then once you give it that context, it could now generate responses and answers to match that. Like if you say today, you say you are a psychologist with 10 years or let's say 20 years experience in mental health and not these type of things, it will be able now to give you a more finer tuned response than just a general thing now. So
Listen,
yeah,
I take a subscription to ChatGPT 4. I'm telling you, it is worth it.
and then you see now it happening so fast, eh? It had Chat GPT 4, but then it had Claude. I don't know if you know about Claude. You can't really get Claude in Trinidad. Well, I use Claude when it now come out, when they first released the beta, but then they close it off to the US and Canada right now. Because the thing with Claude could write full books. The amount of characters, I think, is about 10 times more than Chat GPT, so that you could have Claude write a full novel from start to finish, and you could copy and paste it. Funny thing with this as well. I don't know if I should say this in any point. I mean, yes, everybody uses AI, man. I used AI once, well, to write certain letters, and the way AI wrote the letters, because I say wrote it as much as possible human sounding, and to this day people didn't know is that AI write that type of letter. It really does show you the. I say it's a danger in a sense, but it's good as well, because you know, and because the things that you could get AI to do right now, it is a bit scary.
A bit.
A bit scary. Yeah, the things I've seen, because you know, once you remove the restrictions that they have on it, it's like a right. I don't know if I mentioned that the last time we spoke, they compare having AI or using AI in your workflow, or they comparing it to the atomic bomb. That's how dangerous it could be. You understand?
I don't know, boy. I wondering.
But
I don't
then.
consider myself a creative. Maybe I am. Maybe I need to maybe be part of that. Maybe consider myself a creative. But I see Aaron and Ricardo as the ultimate creatives, right? So if I had to envision myself to be a creative, it's them as the guys I look towards. So as creatives, fellas, what do y'all think? Because I mean, this people on society discussion, Shimon leading here, is really eye-opening, boy. As creatives, what do y'all see? Y'all see this as an enhancement to the work that you do, or just another maybe another hurdle in the way of towards the ultimate creative goals? Or am I phrasing that correctly? Maybe I have the context wrong.
That's a real tricky one to answer, because I'll use it from a perspective of DJing, for example. If AI could help me sort my music library, I am thankful.
And if you know that
Now, okay, admittedly, I think Serato probably does have an element of AI in it. It's called a smart crate, where it could sort based on year and all these different things, right? And it could do things like that. But I'm talking about the genuine sort in terms of listening to the song, making up if that song will be a hit, or if there's something that you're gonna play or that the people will like, and put it accordingly. That's what I mean. If AI could aid with something like that, I'm all for it. But when it comes now to the actual art of DJing and going in a party and playing, I don't think anything, as my mind stands right now, I don't think anything could beat that with human interaction or human application. Right? There are some aspects of AI which I am willing to welcome. Whereas, no, seriously, but there are others, and I realize they kind of pinch on the word a little bit when you were talking about the military application with the brain beeping. Right? And that's the honest, for me, that's the biggest fear with it. Because if you're saying at some point AI could read what you're thinking and use the brainwaves to formulate certain things, what is it going to stop from altering the brainwaves to think or act a certain way?
That's one of the fears that they had. That's one of the fears. But then, go ahead.
And not just that. I understand as well that as technology advances, persons are supposed to advance with technology.
Yes, that's but quite true.
What happens when technology advances to the point that it doesn't need people anymore?
Well, but that's one of the biggest questions, because they're thinking that we have created a new type of life form. You know? That's how they're looking at AI, because once it reaches, although AI is just a computer program with a lot of information and it just know how to present it in a human manner. Right, but they're thinking now, and they were saying that AI would be a new form of alien, right? Where at some point in the future, it inevitably will be able to go sentient and think on its own and have its own actions and stuff like that. And they're wondering right now what a future like that would be. Because it wouldn't need humans anymore, right? Once it gets into, I sure when Boston at Dynamics really get into it and bring forward a bot with AI in it, that they say that will be a new species, I guess, of human, right? And when I think back of the advancements in technology where Elon Musk has this Neuralink. Right, and the reason for him having Neuralink, one of the reasons is to be able to interact with machines in a way never seen before, and that's the only way we would be able to combat with the new type of, well, the same as a new type of human. I don't know if you all fellas into church and thing. I believe in God and that aspect of life, right? So when you're telling me you be making a new human or a new species, a hybrid, I'm not into that, because you know you remove that spiritual element and just make it all tech. You understand? They that's all. You should take any movie creator, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You will see exactly where they want to have they want to give them rights and that type of thing. You know,
I am. I first encountered the term transhumanism maybe 15 years ago. And, well, it could be a little longer by now. I might be underestimating how long this has been around. But the idea of being able to biomechanically or technologically enhance the human body as we know it might actually be the combination of AI becoming sentient and requiring biomechanical hosts, and us being able to use technology to improve our bodies as they exist. So even the concept of being technosapien as the next level is these aren't terms that I'm making up. They are schools of thought that say, this is the direction we head in. So it mightn't be a case of robots being able to replace us. It might be a integration that might actually be the thing that keeps us relevant. You know, it is it's a challenge for me to accept, because I get like I as a God-fearing man, and I understand some of the implications of this in terms of the ethics and moral and the whole cosmic balance. But you're looking at the people who don't see it like that and see these things as opportunities, because the idea of being able to identify astigmatism from young short-sightedness and being able to correct that before it becomes I assume I need glasses or surgery, the idea of being able to detect cancer carcinogenic cells before they become problematic, just because you went by the doctor and you and they do a blood test. What I mean is there are medical applications that would render this somewhat attractive. The idea that we could combine what technology can do to give us higher qualities of life. So I think it's the type of thing that, as scary as it might be, the same way the whole idea of AI a couple months ago was intimidating because of how fast it was moving, and now it's not even a choice of whether or not you want to integrate AI, because they're not trying to sell us beta programs anymore. Everything that we use has an AI component to it.
And just for our listeners, I just want to put you onto two things to check out, just to show that there's a basis for this discussion. If you check out the book Homo Deus, this is by Yuval Harari, Israeli historian, very prolific writer. He talked about this many years ago, about how the advances in technology and biomedical research combined together is going to be a change in the way we conceptualize people as what it means to be human,
yeah, right?
And what the in-betweens could be. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, and I mentioned it before, if you have not checked it out, go on YouTube and look, the Godfather of AI 60 Minutes interview, right? This is the guy who would have set a lot of these things, these train, would have set up this train that kind of run out the gate right now. And him talking about the good parts, the same thing Ricardo spoke about in terms of the medical application, it already started to be much better than people who read radiographic charts and so forth in terms of finding cancers, and it already has surpassed that. But he's also warning about the military application and the whole concept about how fast and how much more efficient it processes quote-unquote thought than a human brain. So I just want to throw that in for our listeners, just to show that this discussion is rooted in what we're seeing out there, right? Sorry, guys. I just wanted to put that in there.
Yeah. I sort of, like, now thinking about it, I did watch that interview and it cut out. But a lot of people frightened of AI. And once you tell me you're frightened, that's how I know you're not too, how to put it, informed about it. Like it or not, that's where it's going. This is just like the internet. The only problem with AI, I would say, is that they have to get the accuracy of the things that it produces in under control, because it could, remember, is whatever we feed it. If we feed it bad news or, you know, what is called fake news, it will produce the fake news, and then that could just stem out. I think that it did at a point in time with some pictures of I think the Pope or something like that, where AI was used to create a picture that wasn't real, and people went all over it. Even with, and then too, as well, from what I was watching, even with marketing in Trinidad here, some people have discovered it. I mean, they're using text to speech, but it's not the really, it's not like the 11 Labs type of text to speech, but I guess it's a free one. And that's how they're creating their Facebook ads to sell their products, I would say. And the thing is, some people don't even know. I take for my wife, for instance, I actually did an ad with the AI, and from 11 Labs, and you can't tell me that's not a human person. It's so good. It's really good. Nobody could have told that that's an AI voice. It's not sung in robotic or anything like that. It's actually natural language, and is a woman, and she's sounding very believable, you know, that type of way.
Yeah. So, okay, I was under the impression you were talking about a written ad. You're talking about a voiceover ad.
Yeah.
Wow.
She I doesn't really like to really refer to these things like this people, you know, that kind of way. Mm-hmm. But the voice that was given, and it's really impressive. So some of the ads that we're watching on TV to this day will be like 11 Labs, because they could recreate any voice, you know? And that is part of one of the things I was going to use with Dr. Eric Williams, or bringing him back. And then before, as we were talking about entertainment and the DJing, in the future, they will have, I don't know if you all listen to Scorch Radio, but Scorch Radio at present have no announcers, right? They don't have no announcer. It doesn't have that talk on it. But in the future, radio stations will have announcers that are AI and be able to talk or discuss on current events, you know? And I know that isn't, I don't know if you know what Slam Broadcaster, but that is in the making right now. So we will be listening to our radio, and it will not be a real person, but the conversation will be interesting enough to captivate you. You know,
what I foresee happening is, we look at AR, augmented reality, right? You have it on your phones right now, but imagine being able to look at a building through your phone screen or through your goggles or your glasses or whatever, and based on your perspective, you see a particular amount of information, type of information, etc. You could imagine being able to put on your radio station. You're listening to the same music everybody listening to, but your announcer, your AI announcer, is running commentary based on what your interest would be. You could,
yeah.
You'd have to send out a general message and see how much of the audience you capture. You could actually tailor your delivery to the specific listener.
Yeah. That's true.
When you go on air now, it's going to be artificial intelligence radio, because the same way I could pick a song to stream.
Yeah.
Right? It could decide, well, all right, these are the types of ads that you're interested in hearing. This is the type of topic that you're interested in listening to. So imagine a combination of a podcast. Imagine being able to choose from your podcast subscriptions and downloads to say, well, all right, there's the kind of morning conversation we're going to have while you're listening to this music. It is amazing what could be possible in terms of marketing, consumerism. It couldn't get weird. It already went.
Yeah. Yes, it's
already.
And look how easy. Right now, you could use AI for free. You could use ChatGPT, and I think you could use version 4 in Bing. Remember, Microsoft spent $10 billion into OpenAI, so they bought it. Come like they bought the technology to implement into their products. And the first thing is, and I am a computer man, and I didn't see that happen. I just come one day, open up Bing, and then I see in chat with me here in the corner on the left hand side, in the right hand side. Knowing about it, I know that it's ChatGPT. You could use it right there, and it has access to the internet. So whereas ChatGPT was limited to, I think, 2020 or 2021 or whatever, this have more current information. So it more informed about the things now, you know. It wasn't like that before. So, and I know for the new office, I think Office 2024, everything, so creating PowerPoints, even in Excel, it'll be able to analyze data, be able to write resumes, you know, without, and that's why, you know, they're making AI available to everybody. Even in your phones, you see, AI will replace the Google Assistant in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know if they will upgrade. I was reading something. I didn't finish read it, but I think Apple is coming out with something here. I think they will give Siri upgrade or come up with something fresh, because that's, once you don't have AI in your products or your line or whatever, you kind of become like Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll be behind. So
interesting, right? I know we're coming up to time there. I mean, this People and Society discussion,
this
as
is
much as I mean, I'm in the field now, so I'm happy to get AI integrated into any products that can help me clean data and things like that. That's going to ease up my headache. But on the next side, I'm really not sure about those deep fake videos. And you see that voiceover thing, I'm not too sure about that in my particular view, but I'll just kind of tie my end of the discussion by saying I really like this discussion in terms of how far and the potential. And I really think in terms of the way we interact is going to change things up, right? It's really going to change things. I'm listening here and I'm stunned and hopeful at the same time, you know? We'll see how this goes, but very, very interesting discussion.
I will just add this. AI is in schools because just today, just this evening, a student called, I think it's Holy Name Salt, and she said that her SBA that she has to do has to do everything with AI. They have to do some research on AI and how AI is helping business or how it's implemented into businesses. So she do a search, and well, one of the things I into came up, and she gave me a call and she said, well, could you help me with the SBA? I say, well, no problem at all. Just send me, because she said she just needs some videos and just to give her a process on certain things. And I say, well, I guess the youth is, this is a good thing to bring the youth in on, you know, and I'm happy to see that they adopted so early. But the spin side of that now is, how are teachers going to be able to tell the difference between a student that wrote with AI or a student who didn't write with AI? You know, that's where the disruption in the whole education system, I say, would come. Right? And then, well, even with just using the Bing, you could have a lesson teacher for your child within a particular standard or so, you know, but having them starting to interact with it, and you have it, say, I've tried it before. I say, my daughter is in, let me say, fifth grade. I need a study curriculum to give her A's in maths and English. And that was it. And it just went out and started create this whole thing for her to read and when to study and what to study. And I say, it was really even where I am employed here, AI will soon be doing this job I'm doing. Very soon. You understand? And that's basically where it is going. Companies that make these things, that's what they incorporate into their whole product line. Telling you.
You've given us a lot to think about here, boy, because I'm really happy that you recognize it, and I hope our listeners recognize that. Think about what you're doing and think about if some of the things that are easy replaceable. You know, there are things that you could do that there's a human touch in terms of your interaction with your public or your audience or the people that you're trying to influence in a positive way. And I think Aaron brought it across very, very nicely that you are adding value in terms of the work that you do, adding value in a way that can be replicated. But for the things that can be replicated, use the technology to make your life easier.
Yeah,
that's
a
message from me. Yeah? I use it to make your life easier.
I stuck on that.
Yeah, So, but I'll pass over to Cardo, but I know we press the time, Sherman. I know you're a busy man, so we'll probably just do our rounds of closings and we'll let you off, boy.
All right, no problem.
I good. I good because the whole idea of being AI literate on your resume, that alone was that alone shift my perspective. And at the end of the day, I have to recognize that everything that I can do can be replicated. Everything. Every single thing. If it couldn't be replicated, if it can't be replicated, it can't be taught. And if it can't be taught, it means nobody else could do it but me. Right? So I have to get it into my head that I have to find ways to continue to contribute value, even if it can be replicated, not just because it can't. Right. So that opened it up for me a little bit. Two, I realized that I have ideas. I already looking at the new information that being presented and seeing how I could recombine that. Now, if something could go through the possibilities faster than I can, great and all well and good. But now I have to utilize my advantage, which is the fact that somebody might quicker trust me than they'll trust a program. Well, I mean, is it'll still have a human element to humanity? Right, so capitalize on that. You know, at the end of the day, a robot can't hug you. Oh, yet, right? For now, let us remember the fact that we are human, and even if something encroaching on our workspaces and our productivity spaces, even our creativity spaces, until a robot could love, we still have something as people that could add value. So, on that note, Ricardo Mitchell, the social stage, global stage, thanking you guys for joining us. Inquisitive Minds is. We're talking sense and sneakers. Can I kick it over to Aaron? I know he already changed location, so I don't know how loud or long he could come in for.
The AI DJ is still playing. He's called Avrast. It's a program.
Is not Simeon again?
Nah, it's a new program. It's called Avrast. I hope I pronounced that correct. In the 90s and early 2000s, the fear was that computers would replace us. And we got to the point where now humans and computers work synergistically to ensure that higher levels of production are achieved. I hope that as time continues to progress, humans and AI can work together to continue to achieve a higher level of productivity. I ask that if you are not knowledgeable about it, because I'll admit I'm not the most knowledgeable about AI, right? If you are not knowledgeable about it, take some time and get to learn about it because it can assist in your daily tasks at your job or even at home. Right? With that being said, with all these advancements in technology, I continue to ask the question, why can't YouTube play as a background app?
Nah, you had to purchase YouTube for that.
I'm not doing it. Right?
Nah, not with me. Nah, man. I find
Right.
that
Nah, but
was unfair.
right. But really and truly, guys, as I always tell you, love is the currency, so spend some today. Let somebody know that you love them, guys. And I always tell you, culture is my code. Remember, I write in the first AI Kaizo for next year.
You can't spell Kaizo without AI, yeah?
I like that. Boy,
That's a good idea.
I give
That's
you
a good idea.
the last word to take us out there, boy, and we'll close.
Oh, I'll just expand on those who not or who skeptical about AI. Now is the time, we up at the peak, and it's only you see. The thing is, I can't even say where we're going because it's an unforeseen thing. You can't tell. But it's there, and the way the big players in the field pushing it, like 100%, they're going 100% behind it because they're seeing where it will be beneficial. But with anything, it have good sides and good and bad. And that's it. I didn't even touch on that. You see that Kaizen thing? I didn't even touch on that where it could write soca. Well, I told you, I show you all the soca it could write, but then now it could voice it and do the music and all of that. So it's whoever coming out with AI next year for Carnival, you know, Phil Marshall.
Nah, look the man in the room here.
Actually, there was a producer that recorded an AI track and he posted it on Instagram. Big up Kyle Phillips for that one.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I'll ask you, Aaron, to drop down any group in it and may I get a chance. I'll check it out.
Not a problem, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All right, guys. So I think we could close there. Hey, mm-hmm. That was fun, boy. I always like this people and society part of things. Thanks a lot, boy Schumann, for taking us down.
Anytime. Yeah. No problem.
Well, let's stay good. God bless.
All right. Yes, keep man. Good, man.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
If you enjoyed the kind of conversation that we had today, subscribe, like, and share the Inquisitive Minds podcast. You can find us on all major podcast suppliers at INQUIZITIVEMINDZ. Wherever you'd put an S, put a Z.